Welcome to Podmon Adventure 02, the podcast where you will not live to see the day all Korea is ruled by the North. Today, we are watching episode 8. Yes, 8 of Digimon Adventure 02, episode 62 of the franchise, Ken's Secret. Hello, Nolan.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm even more lost about the bit.
Yeah. I figured you would be after that one. So, yeah, we're watching this episode. Kids are fucking clearing control spires left and right. Saw Andromon. That was cool. And Matt's got a date. Matt has got a date.
Yeah.
What you thinking? What's going to happen? What is Ken's secret?
Okay. Yeah, Ken's secret. All right. Let me just paint you a picture. We've got a 13-year-old young man said to be a prodigy.
Yes.
Who has observed access to the internet.
Mm.
And is pretty convinced of his own, ineffable charm and inability to do anything wrong.
Right.
I don't want to say the words child porn on our on our podcast, but I also don't think I would put it past old Kenji. And so basically this is when the tone shift happens in the series, and this basically becomes the real first season of True Detective.
Well, he's kind of in a bit of a quandary, isn't he? Because he is himself a child. Like,
I don't think it matters. I think.
Well, no, of course it doesn't matter. Of course, you like, fucking, don't like, look at child porn, no matter how old you are. but also, like,
is that gonna be on our banner? Just say no, kids.
It's like those old like NBC or whatever, like the. The more you know commercial where someone comes in a dark room. It's like, don't look at child porn, no matter how old you are. But also he's a child.
Yeah.
So like it's, and I guess there's like a level of like a layer of removal, but like it's kind of weird on the, I guess that's why you don't let kids get online before they're 18, because they'll look at porn. It'll be kind of like morally and legally weird for like adults to be selling their porn to children. Is basically what I'm getting at.
That's why they always make you lie about your age,
right?
Whenever you get to one of those sites,
because nothing is more legally binding than are you 18? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Are you sure about that? You're not allowed in here.
Have you asked your parents if you're 18? Yes. Ha, I got you. If you're 18, you wouldn't have to ask your parents.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty accurate. You're dead on last week, so.
Yeah, I got a real streak going.
Yeah.
Let's see how it ends up, you know? You got any other business to take care of? Last week we talked a bit about our metrics from Spotify, the ones I thought were you know, useful to us.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I was like, you know, take the money you used to all that graphic design.
Right.
Maybe shoot some of it our way.
Right.
Hey. That's cool. I know you're not paying the graphic designers.
Well, no one
paid one of them one time to do the whole thing. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
They've been using that same fucking template for like 5 years now.
Yeah.
Well, if somebody besides Spotify or Spotify, hey, if everybody at Spotify, like that works at Spotify corporate, wants to go to patreon.com/indiecarnival and give us a dollar, that'd be great. If not, you guys can. I don't think we have anything up right now. Most of our specials we've just been putting out for free. But, you know, we appreciate the support. And we might try to do some things on Spotify again here soon. So if you want to, you can do that. If all six of our top fans did that, that'd be $6, and that would pay for a something.
Pay for our Google, for our expanded memory.
Yeah, actually, it would. And, you know, with these episodes being episodes of podcasts, that would definitely come in handy. So, you know, if you want to do that, that'd be great. If not, then just keep listening.
Yeah, my laptop is smoking over there in the corner. Right. Just trying to run a reason file.
Are you a MonsterVerse fan, like Godzilla, Kong, all of those guys?
Hell yeah. Godzilla Minus One.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
I've not either.
I really want to. Everybody's saying it's like the best Godzilla movie ever. Which, you know, maybe not the highest bar in the world to clear,
mm-hmm.
but I think certainly the first one had like a poignant message and was like very interesting and obviously fucking started a whole, you know, a franchise that's lasted like almost 100 years now.
Right.
So something to that. And there's been good ones just like here and there throughout. But, you know, not none that have been like talked about like high art the way people are talking about this.
Right. Yeah. That's what, yeah. I watched a Mr. Sunday Movies review of Kong Skull Island, and then I tried to find that, and I couldn't find it, but I found there's an animated series on Netflix, that's in that, like, MonsterVerse universe called Skull Island, and it was actually pretty good. Like, I was actually surprised. I thought it was gonna be just, like, a... you know, Camp Cretaceous, kind of just like a kiddified version of the story, but it's like Kong doesn't really play much of a role in it. And I've always been more of a Kong fan than a Godzilla fan myself. But it's more about the island and about the people and everything. But recommend that, and I did end up renting Kong Skull Island, which is a, like, who's who of MCU cast. Like, you got your Brie Larson, you got your Sam Jackson, you got your Tom Hiddleston, you've got a bunch of other, like, small players that have been, like, I think every actor in that cast has been in Marvel at some point. But it was enjoyable. I haven't watched any of the, like, the recent Godzilla movies, but I don't think Minus One, was it a Japanese one, like a real Godzilla movie, or do you know anything?
From what I've seen, none of it's been in English.
Yeah.
I don't know which studio. It would make sense that it was from Japan, but...
Right.
You know, I don't know. Sometimes those properties get sold to Korea, but... Yeah. It may not be.
What was the last? Because there's been like Godzilla 2014, King of the Monsters, Godzilla versus Kong, and the new one coming out.
There have steadily been like Godzilla movies. Like,
yeah, but like the last one, those are all like American.
Yeah.
Like Hollywood properties. I think the last like was Godzilla 2000, the last like true Godzilla movie before.
Yeah.
Minus One?
I think maybe. Well, do you mean last one that was just called Godzilla? Or
I mean, like, the last one that was, like, a Japanese not tokusatsu, kaiju film. Like, that wasn't, like, just trying to do Godzilla 1998, but better.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Which is... 1998. Is that the one with the eggs and the weird raptors?
Yes.
Godzilla?
Yeah.
That was the first Godzilla movie I ever saw.
Oh, same.
Yeah. I saw it in theaters as a 4-year-old.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw that in theaters. I think my grandma owned a copy on VHS, though. That I watched, I don't know. Even as a kid, it didn't really, like, really grab me all that much. I need to go back and visit. I know it's like not highly regarded, but
I remember being like okay as a monster movie, and just like there was no reason for it to be a Godzilla movie. Like it just not only did they change one of the most recognizable monsters in like kaiju history, but they also made him smaller and it made him more of a like it felt more like an alien type movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just the eggs that are making me say that, but
no, I think that like I think it's a I don't know, maybe it's a cultural thing. Like you know, we've talked before, I think, about like the allegorical roots of Godzilla are very Japanese.
Yeah.
And foundation. And I think that like when it comes to monster movies, I feel like America broadly understands things like Alien and Predator more than it does something like Godzilla. So it for it to have
I think we fear swarms of things or things that happen in like stealth in the you know the like our obsession with zombies and our obsession with just like swarms of insects or things like that. I think they reflect how we sort of fear the outside world and how we perceive ourselves as like a host to be infected with a parasite.
And you know, when was the first Alien? It would have been like 80 something, right?
Yeah.
So all of these are post-Vietnam.
Mm.
So I think there's something there of like the fear of like an overwhelming force that
swarming you in the night.
Yeah.
Man. Man, Vietnam, what a tough time.
Right.
My heart goes out to all the soldiers, all those brave men and women of the
Viet Cong. Yep. deep shit. Let's go watch a cartoon. We'll be right back. All right, and we're back. So how'd we do? How'd you make out?
Oh, I think the subtext was that I was correct.
Yeah, but I think so too. We'll give you that one.
Surface level, maybe not.
Right. This is a very subtext heavy show.
yeah.
There was like
a lot hiding between the lines here in Digimon Adventure 02.
There were a couple of like narrative callbacks. It was like, wow, you actually remembered something that you wrote 10 minutes ago. I'm impressed. So Davis's team is having soccer practice, and his coach tells them that they're going to have a match against Ken's team, our resident boy genius psychopath dog punter, donkey madness player. The kids are going over Ken's stats on the computer, and they're always like, wow, this kid's really fucking good. And he's just like just the best soccer player that's ever existed, just like inhumanly good. They just like picked like the highest stats anyone's ever had and add an extra zero to it, basically.
Yeah. He's the creative character where you max out all the different stats.
Right.
In the sports video game or whatever.
Yoli considers two-timing Mimi. She said she doesn't want to kiss Ken. She wants to marry him as she comes from a traditional Japanese family who would not look kindly on her marrying a Japanese-American immigrant. At the soccer field, Ken's team arrives without him. Yoli blames Cody, or blames Davis and Cody and everyone around her. Ken has a soft drink commercial to shoot and is having a soccer ball
Named after him. In my mind, it's a single soccer ball.
Right, yeah.
It's like a naming ceremony. It's basically like a confirmation or a... oh, fuck, what do you call it in a baptism?
Yeah.
They're just giving him the soccer ball a Christian name.
But Davis's team is holding their own in a montage of mostly still frames and fades. Davis is feeling pretty confident about this, but Ty tries to give him a reality check and remind him that they're only 1 point ahead and Ken could show up at any moment.
Like maybe at the end of the sentence.
Right. Well, first Davis has to give us some dramatic irony and say he's not worried about Ken. What can he do at this point?
Yeah, we're a whole goal ahead.
Right.
What could possibly go wrong?
Well, Ken shows up and immediately ties the game and takes the lead.
Yeah, Ken shows up a lone child in a taxi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ken's team has a massive lead, and Davis manages to tackle Ken at the very end, but Ken's team still won 9-1, which...
In soccer terms, that's like, it's like if you were playing basketball with somebody and like it was 90-30.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. But Davis and Ken shake hands and Ken calls him his worthy adversary, which immediately goes to Davis's head.
Yeah.
And as they're walking home, everyone is pleasantly surprised by how well Davis is taking all of this. And Ty reminds him that maybe before Davis joins Ken's championship team, he should try to at least score a goal against him one time.
Davis thinks this is good advice.
Right.
And that he should try it next time, which begs the question, was he not trying to score during the game? He's just like, man, that kid's good. Just watching him.
Yoli wants to shake Davis's hand because he shook hands with Ken.
And by the transitive property, this
right.
would get her pregnant.
Right, yeah.
With his child. That would be connected forever.
Yeah. But she ultimately decides that she doesn't want sloppy seconds or to be sloppy seconds. I don't know.
Is it just too overwhelming for her?
Yeah. She wants to wait to shake hands with her beloved when they meet.
Yeah. Doesn't everybody look forward to that? Shaking hands with your
right.
beloved?
Right.
A nice firm handshake with the woman of your dreams.
Yep. So there's a new spire that has popped up overnight in the digital world. So the kids head into town. And everyone is immediately swallowed up by the ground except for Davis, who tries to dig them out when the Digimon Emperor beckons him.
Yeah, he has plenty of time to try and dig his friends out of a giant sand dude with his hands, but thinks that it'll take too much time to call Ty.
Right.
Yeah. Davis, not the best with time management skills or thinking things through.
Which, I don't... Okay, correct. But also, there's a control spire in the area, which means that Agumon can't digivolve.
Yeah, good call.
So what really can Ty do besides what Davis is doing?
Just think in a straight line a little bit more clearly. But
In this scenario,
it makes sense that Davis is... It's not going to get him too much to bring Ty along.
Yeah.
Maybe he could dig faster.
I mean, Agumon does have those big old fucking paws, so maybe he could dig a little bit faster than Davis, just scooping out a little bit of dirt at a time. But
V-mon wasn't even helping. So
right.
I don't.
V-mon was trying to be the voice of reason. Davis goes and sees the other kids are hanging over a ravine over Deltamon, our antagonist of the episode, who is a dinosaur with a skull and a like robot dinosaur head for hands.
Fuck it.
Yeah, mouth hands.
Mouth hands. Oh, feet hands.
And all of the kids are basically telling Davis to save himself, except for Yoli, who's just like, fuck that, save me, fuck you.
Well, no, she she comes around, but I don't understand his plan. We'll get to that in a second.
Right.
But yeah, Davis is being he's being forced to make a Sophie's choice, which we're supposed to assume that he wouldn't just immediately pick Kari.
No, I think the conflict for Davis is not which one do I pick, but how do I save Kari and her still want to shake hands with me.
How long do I have to deliberate? How long do I have to make it look like I might choose somebody else?
Right.
And I but yeah. So yeah, it turns out it was too good to be true that before that, fucking the Digi Emperor has a weird sadistic fetish moment with Davis.
And yeah.
Forces Davis to beg for his friends' lives and Vimon to step on his head.
Mm-hmm.
Which Davis, to his credit, apparently does not value his own, esteem. Comparison with his desire to see his friends safe.
Yeah, is the interesting thing about Davis, which is, I don't know, it's kind of in conflict with his obsession with Kari and everything. But at the same time, it's also not, because I feel like if Davis had any self-esteem, he wouldn't try so hard.
He also wouldn't be so threatened by TK.
Exactly.
But also, I think within the group, he will accept the dynamics of like status and all those things as being effective on him. But then, but externally, I just don't think he cares what he has to risk in terms of his own personal regard, in terms of like what he's willing to sacrifice for his friends.
Yeah.
Which shows a side of Davis and a virtue that he has that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah. And honestly makes, I won't say that Davis is my favorite of the new three, because I genuinely don't really like any of them. But I do think he is the most interesting in the sense that, in Taoist terms, he is an uncarved block. You know, he is pure, both in like negative connotations of he is simple and stupid, but also he doesn't have any like preconceived notions of himself or his value or anything. He
has no delusions of grandeur.
Right. Which is
he's proud still, but he's not like, he doesn't believe that he has some untapped like potential that makes him rise above the rest the way the Digimon Emperor does.
Exactly.
He just believes that if he tries hard enough, he will kick ass.
Yeah. Which makes him more interesting to me, because that is a character trait that out of 8 children in the first season that none of them had, whereas Yoli and Cody are trying to be mirrors of Sora and
like amalgamations of the rest of the characters.
They definitely are. They don't stand out on their own quite as much, besides a little kid who has maybe too much respect for authority and whiny middle child.
Yeah.
But everyone tells him to save the others except for Yoli. But Davis can't choose and offers to sacrifice himself instead. But the other kids show up. What? It was Bakuman all along.
Yeah.
Flamedramon and the others fight the Bakuman, and Davis tackles the Digimon Emperor down a rock face. Deltamon is about to kill Davis, but Flamedramon destroys his Dark Ring, which weakens the Digimon Emperor's control of the Bakuman somehow.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. That's the thing that makes sense.
They have like hotspots within each of the rings.
Right.
That supports the signal to the rest of them. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, it's pinging. Digimon Emperor laments how Davis made him look like a fool twice in the same day.
Just blew his own spot up for no other reason than to be a little piss baby.
Which leads Davis to put 2 and 2 together, which, good for him.
Yeah.
He grew that second brain cell.
Which, for some reason, the Digimon Emperor has the same injury that he had in the physical world,
right,
in the digital world.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure. Earlier, TK whenever the Digimon Emperor is standing, the Bakemon after them says that he's like a general leading an army,
yeah,
which is exactly what he said during the soccer game.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's one other moment there's that called back to that. But yeah, so now they know. And who knows what's going to happen now that they know. I mean,
I'm thinking they should just, you know, wait till he falls asleep and then jump him.
Right.
That's kind of like, if he's like a famous dude. Like, they know where he's at, right? Or could at least figure out where he's going to be.
Right.
The next soccer match, just bring baseball bats instead.
Well, we will find out. But first, well, what you got to say about it?
Oh, man. Yeah, we already talked about it. I don't want to kiss him. I just want to marry him. From Yoli, making just tons of sense there. yeah. Whenever they're out on the field for the first time and they're yelling at Davis from the stands, Ty says, "Don't forget to hug Ken. Give him a little kiss, too." Which is just very silly. Ty is, like, thinking in a voiceover and saying, "Davis is in over his head." And then it cuts to Davis's voiceover. He's like, "Ty's probably thinking I'm in over my head," which shows that Davis does actually have some kind of self-awareness and understands what's happening. It's like all the kids are shouting support for Davis. They're saying, "You can do it. We believe in you." And then Ty's like, "Even if you can, we're still here for you, buddy." Yeah. Just being realistic. Whenever Yoli is going to, like, I guess, get the transitive property hand job from Davis.
Yeah.
She's just like, "It's just not the same." just a heavy sigh. Whenever they're all being suspended, the fake versions of them, Yoli says, "Oh, sure, make me look bad. Fine, don't save me." Which, whoever was impersonating Yoli there, that Bakemon was actually doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, for sure.
the Digi Emperor gets tackled by Davis at the end, Wormmon says, "We'll stay here and guard the hill." Yeah. It's pretty silly.
Okay, so we've got a horde of Bakemon, and we've got Deltamon.
I guess because he has three heads. Delta is the third.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
letter of the Greek alphabet.
Yeah.
Huh.
Kick-ass design.
Yeah.
Doesn't really do much of anything.
I was gonna say, yeah, it's very of this era. It reminds me of Street Sharks a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I don't know, just what he is. He's just a big shark thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say like B tier.
Okay.
What's our B tier?
Lenovo.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. Because he's cool.
Yeah.
He just has mouths. That's kind of his whole deal. He's three mouths. Okay, let's address this now that we're here.
Right.
The Digimon Emperor's plan is to get Davis to condemn all but one of the fake Digidestined that he has suspended up there in hopes that what? That
I think it's just psychological torture. Like, I think because Davis made a fool of him, he wanted to just fuck with Davis's head and then kill him.
Sure. But he could have just killed him and that would have done the same thing. You know what I mean?
In a manner of speaking, but he wouldn't have gotten the perverse satisfaction of making Davis think that he got
due
all
to himself. Okay, so I guess it's the friendship thing that he's trying to do. He's trying to make Davis feel that his friends are a liability and that having them isn't a thing that he has over Kenji, because he mentions it at the end, or of the soccer match. Kenji's like talking about like their friendship, I think, with some disdain. I can't remember what he says exactly. Huh. Or he's like, "Some friends you have," or something.
Yeah,
like
when
that.
They at the beginning of the match when they have their meet cute.
But yeah, I think he's trying to illustrate It doesn't exactly parse, is what I'm saying. Like, I think that he should, if he's trying to, he wants all the Digidestined dead anyway.
Right.
So why wouldn't he just try to have captured them in the first place? And if he's able to have dropped them into an area earlier, why wouldn't he just make that area deadly and then have Davis choose over his already dead friend? They would certainly prevent them from running up and fucking up his entire plan. He also called his plan indestructible. As it was destroyed, it destructed, man.
Yeah. It digital detect and destructed. Yeah, I don't know. I'm assuming that he probably tried to capture them, was unsuccessful, and was like, fuck it, I'll just get these Bakuman to impersonate him. I'll still fuck with him, and then I'll make him think that he killed all of his friends. He'll kill himself, and then I'll kill the rest of them.
Yeah.
Without their leader? Question mark?
Yeah. Without the stalwart leadership of Davis, where would we all be?
But yeah, that confusing turn of events aside, how are we ranking this episode?
Damn, I don't know if our criteria is too lenient, because I want to say this is another good egg. But it's got all of these problems of just, like, clarity, you know?
Yeah.
But I also do love the fact that we started off with this basically being a soccer anime, you know?
Yeah.
Akin to a slam dunk or one of those other sports anime.
Yeah, for...
I'm sure there's a soccer one that whoever's listening to and is a fan of that.
Yeah, let us know what is good soccer anime with monsters playing soccer. For having like three or four people on between both generations that play soccer, we don't really get to see that much of it.
Yeah.
I feel like this is probably like the first like actual soccer game that we've seen other than like little flashbacks of Sora playing soccer or something, but actually like taking a part of the episode with a soccer game. But yeah, it's either good or bad. I definitely think it's a Fabergé, and I definitely don't think it's a goose egg.
No. Yeah, let's give it a good egg. I can't fault it for any of the, like, it feels like it did what it set out to do. Even though what it set out to do doesn't make the most sense.
Right.
It just, you know, I'll give it its own merits, you know.
So now the veil has been pulled back, and we will find out what the kids are going to do about that next week when we watch Digimon Adventure 02, Episode 9, The Emperor's New Home.
Jesus.
See you then. Goodbye.